Our first reading is from Psalm 102, starting at verse 25. In the beginning, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will wear out like a garment, like clothing. You will change them, and they will be discarded. But you remain the same, and your years will never end. The children of your servants will live in your presence. Their descendants will be established before you. Our second reading is from Hebrews chapter 13, starting at verse 7. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by eating ceremonial foods, which is of no benefit to those who do so. We have an altar from which those who minister at the tabernacle have no right to eat. We're now going to continue on to verse 17. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. Pray for us. We are sure that we have a clear conscience and desire to live honourably in every way. I particularly urge you to pray so that I may be restored soon. Now, may the God of peace, who through the blood of eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory for ever and ever. Amen.
Thanks, Lily. Good morning, everyone. My name's Mark. If we haven't met, I'm one of the pastors here at Trinity Church Modbury, and one of the joys of my role is getting to run Seek, which is our Friday night youth group that meets. And this year we've got seven new leaders at Seek, which is a little bit unusual. A couple of them are here this morning. Most of them go to our night church. Super exciting, and it's really made me think, like, what do I expect of a youth leader? What's my expectation of a youth leader? The high school years are a big deal, aren't they? For our teenagers here, you're really at a key stage of forming your view of yourself, the world you live in, how God relates to it all. It's a time when a lot of voices are speaking into your life, telling you what and who you ought to be, what you should value, how you should live your life. And with all of the noise and the changes and the decisions that these years bring, we want to see our young people knowing Jesus, firstly. We want to see them growing to be more like Jesus, and we want to see them really, really setting themselves up to remain in Jesus for all of their lives. And so for our leaders, that plays out each Friday night in how we lead. It means being present, preparing well, engaging well, building relationships. But also in the longer term as well. A good youth leader is not just going to play the part for a couple of hours each week, but there's going to be a consistent example over the years. I'm holding to the gospel, living it out, where I can say to our youth group members, I want you to be like this leader. Now, the teenage years are a unique season, but the passage that we've just read shows, doesn't it, that good youth leadership is pretty much the same as good leadership in any other level of church life. So week by week, faithfully serving the people under them, and year by year, setting an example that's worth imitating. But you would have noticed as we read through those verses in Hebrews chapter 13, that the instructions there aren't for leaders, are they? The instructions are for those who are being led. The passage, it's all about how we respond to our leaders. If you've been with us this year as we've worked through the book of Hebrews, it's a letter that's written to real people. It's written to people who were being persecuted for their faith in Jesus. They were deciding whether following Jesus was worth it or not. And the core message at the heart of Hebrews has been that Jesus is better. Jesus is better than anything else you could build your life or your hope on. And so keep running the race, we're told throughout Hebrews. Don't drift away. Endure hardship. Encourage one another, because it's only through Jesus that we can come to God. And leaders have an important role in equipping God's people to stand firm and to run the race of faith. And so the writer of Hebrews gives us two key principles here to guide, firstly, how we respond to those who are in positions of leadership. So firstly, we're to follow our leaders as they follow Jesus. We're to hold to the unchanging truths of the gospel as they do. And secondly, we're to honour our leaders as they point us to Jesus, prayerfully supporting them in their God-given work. Now, before I dive in, I want to acknowledge that being told to submit to the authority of leaders might be difficult for some of us to hear. Church leaders don't always get it right. Authority can be abused, and there are high-profile cases, devastating cases of this, and this may be something that's very personal for you. And it's not just in church either. We see corrupt and failed leadership in all spheres of life. And so why should we trust leaders when they get it wrong so often? And perhaps if we're being honest, there's a part of us that naturally resents being told what to do. Just we prefer to do life our way rather than follow someone else's way. Well, if you've got your Bibles open to Hebrews chapter 13, I think verse 20, which we read just earlier, frames this very helpfully by upholding Jesus as the great shepherd of the sheep, the true leader who all other leaders serve and submit to. And when we understand that, we see that this chapter is not calling us to a blind, uncritical allegiance to our leaders. It's talking about imitating and submitting to our leaders as they imitate and submit to Jesus. So firstly, follow your leaders as they follow Jesus. Have a look with me at that first little section that we read there in Hebrews chapter 13. Have a look with me at verse 7. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Now, notice this isn't necessarily talking about the people that are leading them right now, but those who spoke the word of God to them. The people who first told them about Jesus, how Jesus had died and risen to save us and to bring us into relationship with God. It's in the Greek, it's a different word to what's normally used in the Bible to describe pastors. You can ask Ben if you've got questions about the Greek particularly, but the big picture is that it suggests that there's a bit more of a broad view of leadership in view here. It's not necessarily just the senior pastor who oversees the church, but it's other leaders who teach and proclaim God's word as well. And notice too that there's a long-term view in mind here. Remember those leaders. Look at their life. Look at their faith. The outcome of their way of life there in verse 7 might be their lived example, but also what it cost them to follow Jesus in this way. And some of these leaders would have been persecuted, perhaps even killed for their faith. Imitate their faith, the writer of Hebrews urges his readers. Model your faith on theirs. Follow their example. Follow them as they follow Jesus. Look there in verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. He was better yesterday. He's better today. He'll be better forever. The value of a leader's example is as they hold to the unchanging truths of who Jesus is, and as they live it out, as they live a life that reflects the gospel. For the first readers of the book of Hebrews all those years ago, the temptation for them was to go back to Jewish religion with all its priests and its traditions and its sacrifices. And the writer of Hebrews warns them, these things can't save you. They can't save you. Verse 9, eating ceremonial foods won't benefit you. What will? Having your heart strengthened by grace, God's grace given to us in Jesus. And I'm holding firm to this grace, not drifting away from it, as we follow the example of those who faithfully taught it to us. If you're someone here this morning who follows Jesus, or you're seriously working out whether you want to follow Jesus, a bit like these first century Christians, you're going to be tempted at some point to look elsewhere. We'll be tempted by teachings that are different to the gospel message that we've heard, but perhaps more palatable in some ways. We'll be tempted by the desire to be accepted and respected by friends or family or workmates. We'll be tempted by the promise of a more satisfying and self-directed life. There'll be things for all of us that promise us something better, that tempt us to drift from Jesus, to abandon him altogether. And so what is it that helps us to stand firm? Well, we've seen, haven't we, throughout the book of Hebrews, fixing our eyes on Jesus. And we're encouraged to do that as we remember our leaders, as we imitate their faith, as we follow them as they follow Jesus. Now, what I'm about to say next, I was actually going to say this without realizing that Ben and Jesse were going to be here this morning, so there you go, tied in well. Ben was actually a Friday night youth leader with us for a number of years, and I've got photographic evidence of it back there. He had five boys who he led in his group for quite a while, and four of those, well, I guess they're men now, four of those five men are now youth leaders, leading with us on a Friday night. And each one of them will tell you that it was Ben's leadership that played a huge part in them following Jesus, deciding that they would want to follow Jesus, but also that they are now in youth ministry as well, wanting to invest in the next generation as well, which I think is a great encouragement of how God uses a leader like Ben. And if you're someone who knows and loves Jesus, I wonder, who were those leaders for you? Who was it that showed you what it looks like to live out the gospel, to live for Jesus? Maybe it was a pastor you had who preached and led. Maybe it was the faithful youth leader who was there week in, week out. Maybe it was a kids leader, a community group leader, a staff worker at AFES if you went to uni. Maybe an older Christian. Who were those leaders whose faith and whose way of life you can imitate? Who can you follow as they follow Jesus? As I look back on my own faith journey, I've been a Christian for about 18 years now, and I reckon in that time I could tell you about maybe one sermon that really sticks in my mind as having shaped me. I mean, I'm sure they've all shaped me in different ways over the years, but what's actually impacted me in a far more memorable way is the ongoing example of my leaders over that time, hearing the gospel taught and seeing it lived out as well. There's a couple here this morning, actually, part of our church, they know who they are. They were my leaders back in young adults about 15 plus years ago. And the example of them being there week in, week out, opening up the Bible and praying with us really just stands out for me. So in a funny way, today I'm one of their pastors, and so I'm leading them in that sense. But in another sense, they were two of the leaders who spoke God's word to me all those years ago. It's an encouragement for those of us here who lead, whether it's Stephen and I up the front here, whether it's our Trinity Kids and Minis leaders, our youth leaders, our life course table hosts, we may not always feel like our leading is as effective or as fruitful as we'd like it to be, but God uses us to build up and to strengthen the people that we lead as we point them to Jesus, as we follow Jesus week in, week out. And I think it's a helpful challenge for our leaders as well. As we look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7, we ask ourselves, could this be applied to my life and to my leadership? See, the goal of a leader, it's not for people to think that you're a great leader. That's not a great goal for a leader to have. The goal is for the people that we lead to think that Jesus is great. That he's the true shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep to save us, to bring us back to God. Ultimately, it's his leadership that's worth following. And so we're to follow our leaders as they follow Jesus. And that's the big picture instruction here in Hebrews chapter 13. But then the next part shows us what it looks like day by day in the moment, which is that we're to honour our leaders as they point us to Jesus. So verses 7 to 10, that was all about looking back at those who led us. Verse 17 focuses us on who's leading us now. So have a look with me, verse 17. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority. Now, in the context of what we've heard in the earlier verses, it's not telling us that leaders have a free pass to abuse their authority and that we just have to go along with it and do what they want. It's saying submit to their authority as they submit to Jesus' authority, as they follow the great shepherd, the shepherd who used his authority, not for personal gain, but to save us at the cost of his own life. It raises an important question for us, which is, what do you expect of your leaders? What do you expect of your leaders? What do you expect of Stephen and Sally and I in our leadership roles? What do you expect of your community group leader, if you're in a group, or your youth leader, or the Trinity Kids leaders who lead your kids? Have a look there at verse 17. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority. Why? Well, because they keep watch over you as those who must give account. Leaders keep watch. Now, leading isn't just about getting things done. It's not just about having power that we get to wield. There's a serious spiritual responsibility behind it. Listen to how the Apostle Peter addresses the elders, the senior leaders who he writes to. He says to the elders among you, he tells them, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them and being examples to the flock. Or the Apostle Paul, he says to the elders who he speaks to, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Now, this is very serious for Stephen and I, particularly in the roles that we're in, but it matters for all leaders in our church to keep watch over those who we lead. We have a responsibility to protect them, to help them to stay secure in the gospel. And we do that by pointing them to Jesus week by week, year by year. This is the ultimate responsibility of leaders. There are lots of things that leaders do, lots of different things, but this is what really matters. And this is why we submit to our leaders. Have a look there at the end of verse 17. So the writer tells his readers, do this, have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that will be of no benefit to you. Now that makes sense, right? If the job of a leader is to watch over the people under their care, then that work is going to be so much more joyful, so much more effective when the people they're watching over are submitting to their leadership. Or to put it another way, we benefit in the long term by submitting to leaders who are faithfully keeping watch over us. It's a bit like when I'm out and about. I've got two little boys, 2-year-old and a 5-year-old, and if we're out and about, if we're crossing a busy road, my core job in that moment is to keep watch over them, to keep them safe. And that job is so much less burdensome and so much more likely to succeed if they're listening to me, if they're not getting distracted and running off onto the road, but they're responding to my loving authority. Gospel leadership is an awesome privilege to be part of. Like I think sometimes I must have the best job in the world. I get to point people to Jesus. I get to read the Bible. I get to pray with people, train people up for leadership, be part of our church's mission to see more people come to know Jesus. Nothing tops me up more than meeting with someone or with a group of people who are on board and wanting to see God glorified, wanting to see God's church built up. Whether that's youth leaders, community group leaders, or whoever it is. And I hope that all of our leaders here know something of that joy as you meet with and as you lead the people in your groups as well. The work of keeping watch over the people that we lead is so much more joyful when that leadership is being honored and respected and positively responded to. But maybe you've seen and experienced when this hasn't gone so well, when leaders have been undermined in public or in private. Maybe it's decisions that have been questioned or just quietly undermined behind their backs. And when that happens, their work, this work of keeping watch over the people under their care, it becomes a burden, not a joy. And that benefits no one. Everyone loses out of that. I want to be clear, though, on what submitting to our leaders, submitting to the authority of our leaders, doesn't mean. What it doesn't mean. I've said earlier, it doesn't mean submitting to abusive or ungodly leadership, leadership that contradicts the truth and the work of the gospel. It doesn't mean that we have to kind of put the blinkers on and agree with every decision that our leaders make. It doesn't mean that we need to go against our own consciences. It doesn't mean that we need to say yes every time Stephen or Sally or I give you a ministry opportunity of something to be involved in. You don't have to say yes to everything. What it does mean is that we recognize the responsibility of our leaders under God to watch over us, to point us to Jesus, to ground us day by day in the truths of God's word. To make decisions with that purpose in mind. We recognize that, we honor that, and we seek to respond to this leadership in the way that best enables them to joyfully do that important work. We submit to them as they submit to and seek the glory of the great shepherd, the Lord Jesus. And one way that we can support and honor our leaders is by praying for them. Look with me there at Hebrews 13, verse 18 to 19. Verses 18 to 19. Pray for us. We are sure that we have a clear conscience and desire to live honorably in every way. I particularly urge you to pray so that I may be restored to you soon. Now, it feels like a bit of a change of topic from what he's been saying before. And we don't know exactly who the writer of Hebrews is, but it's likely that he's a leader of some sort. He's in some sort of position of authority. And he needs their prayers. He needs their prayers. He's in prison or he's incapacitated in some way. And he tells them, please pray for me. Pray that I would live honorably for Jesus. Pray that I'd be restored. See, at the end of the day, leaders are normal weak, sinful people. We need prayer. And so please, please do pray for Stephen, for myself, for Sally in our roles. Please pray for our kids leaders, our youth leaders, our community group leaders, everyone here who speaks God's word and watches over the people under their leadership. Please do be praying that in every way we would hold to Jesus, that we would set an example, that we would use our authority wisely and selflessly, that we would honour Jesus in our roles, and that God would work through that to build up each one of us here and each of us, all of us together, to be more like Jesus. Let's pray for that now. Lord God, we thank you for Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, our true leader, who used his authority to save and to redeem us. We pray that those in our church who lead, that we would lead like him, that we would lead for him, and that we would lead people to him. We ask that all of us would be able to look to our leaders, past and present, to imitate their faith as they live for Jesus, and to be able to submit to their authority as they submit to the authority of Jesus. And we pray that in all of this, each one of us would be built up in Jesus, and ultimately that you, Father, would be glorified. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.